Chapter 11, Texas Katie. San Angelo was a town that played by its own set of rules. It was not uncommon to hear about a fatal gunfight over some trivial disagreement, at least not serious enough to get shot over. Some people thought of San Angelo as a dangerous place to be, especially at night in the downtown saloons and bordellos. On the other hand, Miss Pearl's parlor was a different story. All the men in town knew they were not allowed to be disrespectful to any of the Lady Pearls. Miss Pearl did not tolerate any kind of abuse and insisted the men treat her girls with kindness and appreciation. If a man acted any less than a gentleman or started any trouble at all, he was asked to leave at once. If he protested, he had to deal with Texas Katie. She was a crack shot with either hand, and everybody knew it. Her first shot was always a warning shot, straight between the legs. Then she'd say,
"I won't kill you if I don't have to. But if you don't get the hell out of here right now, I might just shoot at something you're quite fond of."
This is Katie's story. Katie was born an only child on a ranch just outside of Menard, Texas. Her mother died when she was born, and it was clear by the way her daddy raised her that he had probably preferred she be a boy. Katie's father had four brothers himself and didn't know much about little girls. Growing up, she only had one dress at a time until she outgrew it. The only time she wore a dress was when they'd go to church, which was once a month, if that. The rest of the time, Katie wore dungarees. Her daddy kept her hair short, which made folks think she was a boy. By the time Katie was 5 years old, she had learned to hunt and fish. When she was 12, she could easily shoot a complete row of cans from 20 yards away. Her daddy could throw a can high into the air, and Katie would riddle it with holes before it landed on the ground. She could hit a bullseye with a bow and arrow, break a horse, start a fire by rubbing two sticks together, and dress a mess of fish for dinner. She was loyal and trustworthy, and she had a wealth of common sense. Katie had a great love for the state of Texas and was extremely proud of the fact that her great-great-Uncle Ben had been part of the raid on Santa Anna's army at the Battle of San Jacinto when Texas won its independence. Katie was a fighter, and all the boys knew to leave her alone, especially after she gave Froggy Bowman a black eye and sent him home crying after he had sneaked up behind her and tried to steal her minnow bucket. Katie was constantly guarded by her German Shepherd, Rusty, her most loyal friend and companion. They spent countless hours dove hunting. She'd shoot, and Rusty never missed retrieving the birds. Later, Katie dressed them and cooked them for supper. He was a good working dog, and Katie loved him dearly. The feeling was mutual. One day, Katie asked her father,
"Pa, do you wish I were a boy?"
Her father looked at her and smiled.
"Katie, I don't guess we'll ever know the answer to that. All I know is I love you, and it's just fine."
Her father was a hard-working, stubborn old man and had a high tolerance for pain. One day, he came limping into the house.
"What happened, Pa?"
"Fell off a ladder in the barn. Damnedest thing. Was nailing some loose boards, and a step on that old ladder just gave way. Next thing I know, I was on my butt looking up at the ceiling of the barn. Got up and turned the ladder upside down so I could finish what I was doing. Then I thought I'd better come back to the house."
"Good Lordy, Pa. Let's see what you did. Lay down here on the sofa and let me have a look."
When Katie pulled off his boot, she saw that his ankle had blown up like a melon.
Looks like you broke your foot, or your ankle, or both. I'll go to town and get the doc. Rusty, you better stay here with Pa.
Katie saddled up her horse and rode into town to Doc Brown's place. About 2 miles from the house, while crossing the creek, a strange feeling came over her, like some evil force was watching her. Katie had never known fear before. She had shot many a rattlesnake and was not afraid of anything that moved. One day she shot a cougar while she and Rusty were fishing at the river. This felt different. When she got to Doc Brown's, he was tending to a little boy who had taken a nasty fall off a hay wagon.
I'll be there as soon as I can, Katie. Kind of busy today. Mrs. Lancaster is in labor. Don't worry, it's her fourth, and it shouldn't take too long.
Katie was anxious to get back to her father. She decided to go to the general store and pick up some pain medicine before she left. When she walked in, she saw two men she had never seen before looking at her. They were dirty, and their stench was so offensive, she put her hand up to her nose to avoid the smell. One of the men was tall and had a knife scar along his right cheek. His yellow teeth were stained with tobacco, and his friend was just as nasty.
Howdy, ma'am.
Katie didn't respond.
Hey, pretty lady, I'm talking to you.
Katie still ignored him and turned to the clerk.
I need some headache powder and a half a pound of hard candy, please.
What's wrong? Too good to talk to us, you goddamn uppity bitch.
The clerk pulled out a shotgun from behind the counter.
You won't be talking ugly like that in here. I think you boys best get out now and leave Miss Katie alone.
Miss Katie, huh? Yeah, we'll leave pretty little Katie alone. Hey, pretty Katie. Hey, pretty Katie.
Uppity bitch.
Both men snickered as they sauntered outside. Their laugh was so sinister, it sent a chill up Katie's spine. The shorter man smashed a bottle on the front porch.
Hey, looks like you got a mess out here.
The clerk ran outside.
Y'all get the hell out of here.
Damn, Joe. Who were those men?
Never saw them before, Miss Katie. Sorry bunch they were.
Thanks for coming to my rescue, Joe. You're a true gentleman. And a scholar.
As she rode out of town, Katie thought of those two disgusting men back at the store. She had never seen men like that before, and the thought of them gave her a queasy feeling in the pit of her stomach. As Katie rode home, the quiet was deafening. The men at the store had made her feel dirty, and all she wanted to do was to get home to her father. She pulled out her pocket watch to check the time.
If all goes well with that baby, Doc shouldn't be more than a couple of hours.
Katie had keen instincts. Suddenly, her heart started racing. She wanted Rusty to be with her. Every nerve in her body was alert, as if something evil was lurking around her. Although Katie was halfway home by now, it seemed as if she couldn't get home fast enough. She had just put her pocket watch back into her saddlebag, when suddenly one of the men from the store appeared from behind a clump of bushes and fired a shot. At the sound of the gun blast, Katie's horse reared up and pawed the air. She held on tightly and was able to stay on her horse. When the hooves finally hit the ground, the evil man grabbed the reins.
Pretty Katie.
Hey, pretty Katie. Hey, pretty Katie.
By now, the shorter man had come out and pulled Katie off her horse onto the ground, while Scarface quickly tied the horse to a tree. Katie was strong, but the two men were stronger. She fought and kicked the men with all her strength. Their stink was putrid. Their laughter was diabolical. They looked at her like ravenous animals that hadn't eaten in days. Katie managed to scratch the shorter man on the face, and when she did, she drew blood. The man screamed and hit her on the side of the head with his fist.
Stupid whore!
Stunned for a moment, she stopped fighting. The two men took advantage of their weakened prey, tearing at her clothes. The shorter man was strong and was holding her down.
Looks like we got us a virgin, TJ.
We're gonna make sure you ain't no virgin no more, bitch. You're gonna be our whore.
No one was around. No one could hear her screams. At least that's what the men thought. Katie fought as hard as she could. At first, the men seemed amused with Katie's struggle. The more she fought, the more excited they became. She bit the scar-faced man on his arm. It made him angry, and he slapped her.
Uppity bitch!
Not so pretty now, Miss Katie, you uppity bitch. You're just a nasty, ugly whore.
As the men invaded her precious body, Katie thought she was going to die. The pain was almost too much for her to bear, and at one time, she felt as if she were being torn in two. Katie instinctively decided to go limp like a possum who fakes his death.
This is fun.
At least the hitting stopped. She kept coming in and out of consciousness.
How do you like that, bitch?
And had lost all track of time.
Yeah.
All she could do was wonder if the next breath she took might be her last. From outside her darkness, Katie heard one of the men bellow with agonizing pain. Rusty had heard her screams, and he was out for blood. Both men, still wearing boots, were bound by their breeches, limiting their ability to move freely. The shorter man was trying to scoot away from his partner's fate. Katie rolled over and grabbed a river rock lying beside her. With all the strength she could muster, she slammed it into his skull so hard the man stopped moving. The taller man's pants were still wrapped around his ankles, and Rusty's muzzle was covered with his blood. The man was still screaming while his partner was lying unconscious face down in the dirt. From some unknown place, Katie found a new source of strength that enabled her to run to her horse and pull her 30-30 from under the saddle blanket. Her face was bruised, and there was blood dripping down her leg. Her torn clothes hung loosely on her body. Both of the men were on the ground, bound by their own breeches, preventing them from escaping. Katie called Rusty off the screaming man.
Rusty, heal!
As he slowly regained consciousness, the shorter man began moaning and writhing in the dirt. Both men were bleeding. Katie's body was trembling with a burst of adrenaline that rose from deep inside her soul. Now the look of fear was on their faces. The two men sensed that their doom was near.
Bitch? Whore? Sorry, fellas. Afraid I'm gonna have to make sure you boys never do this again. Hell, you're both half dead anyway. Goodbye, boys. Can't say it's been nice knowing ya.
For a moment, she stood and stared at their lifeless bodies. The evil was gone. Only the gentle sound of the West Texas wind blowing through the trees remained.
Good boy, Rusty. Good boy.
Katie dragged their corpses under a clump of bushes and covered both men with branches and brush. The men had hidden their truck in a patch of trees. Katie figured it was as good a place as any for it to be, at least for now. What Katie didn't notice was that the license plate on the truck buried in the trees read Arkansas. Katie tottered into the creek and called Rusty to join her. She washed the blood off his fur and cleaned herself up. Katie put on an extra shirt and a pair of pants from her saddlebag. She couldn't think about the pain. Right now, all she knew was that she had to get to the house as quickly as she could. Doc Brown was expected any time, and she wanted to be there when he arrived. Katie looked at her timepiece and was surprised that the whole ordeal had taken less than half an hour. To her, it seemed like an endless visit to hell. Katie mounted her horse, her body sore and shaky from her horrible ordeal. Riding home, she felt emotionally numb. Katie decided to ignore her pain and focus on taking care of business. When she entered the house, she found her father peacefully asleep with his foot elevated on a pillow, totally unaware of his daughter's nightmare. She went into the washroom, washed her face, and fixed her hair. There was a huge bruise on her left cheek, and her lip was cut and swollen. Katie took Rusty outside to the barn and finished cleaning him up. As Katie wrapped her arms around her loyal friend, feeling her pain, he whimpered and licked her face.
You saved my life, boy. You saved my life.
An hour or so later, Doc Brown finally showed up in his motor car. Katie met him at the gate.
What in the world happened to you, girl?
I guess it just ain't our day, Doc. Went out to the barn to get a pail, and when I reached out, the shelf fell, and a box full of tools fell on my face. I'll be all right. Just feeling kind of silly about it. Believe me, it looks worse than it really is. Did Mrs. Lancaster have her baby?
An 8-pound baby girl. Pretty little thing. Kind of reminded me of you when I brought you into the world. Your mother was a brave woman, Katie. God rest her soul. Such a nice lady.
Dr. Brown went inside to take care of Katie's father.
Don't think you broke it, Jim, but it looks like a pretty nasty sprain. Just keep it wrapped up and try to stay off it a couple of weeks so it can heal. You're gonna be fine real soon.
Katie was doing her best to seem normal.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Sure appreciate you coming out here.
That night, the moon was almost full. Katie waited for her father to fall asleep. She went to the barn and found a lantern and a shovel, saddled her horse, and rode out where she had left the two men's bodies. Rusty went with her. That evening, Katie dug a deep hole and rolled her assailant's corpses into it. She felt satisfied.
You'll never hurt anyone else again. You monsters. You filthy monsters.
Katie worked all night and covered the grave, moving bushes and rocks. She made sure no one would ever find them. When Katie returned to the house, there was a bright line of orange and gold on the horizon, welcoming a new day. Her father was in the kitchen drinking coffee.
Where you been, Katie?
Rusty woke me up like he heard something. Went outside to check it out. Just an old coon messing with the chickens. I took care of it, Pa.
The story seemed to satisfy Katie's father.
How about some breakfast?
That night, after Katie had done the dishes, she fell into her bed exhausted. All afternoon she hadn't shed a tear. Even now she was too tired to cry. She had just been too busy doing what she had to do. For the next few weeks, Katie took care of the chores while her father's ankle healed. She couldn't get him to stay down. He was on his crutches soon, trying to resume his chores.
Now, Pa, you know what Doc Brown told you. Get off that ankle. I need you to get better.
3 weeks later, Sheriff Tusky drove up to the ranch. Katie and her father met him on the porch.
How y'all doing? I just came by to ask you folks if you know anything about a truck some kids found down by the creek bottom.
Katie's heart started racing. She realized this day had been inevitable.
No, sir, I don't. Been laid up with a bad foot the last couple of weeks.
Katie was trying to keep her cool. Her heart was thumping, and her right knee began to shake. Luckily, no one noticed.
It's from Arkansas, and found out it's stolen.
Arkansas? That's strange.
Katie's father thought of the night Katie had come in at dawn. He knew then that something wasn't right, and now he knew it had something to do with that truck.
You're right, Katie. It's kind of strange. Way out of the ordinary for anything around here. Store clerk said there were two men who...
The sheriff looked at Katie hard for a long minute. He had known her since she was a little girl. Katie watched as both revulsion and sadness fell over him, like a storm cloud darkening the day.
Guess we'll just never know.
Sheriff Tusky tipped his hat.
Sorry to have bothered you folks. Good day, Miss Katie.
Katie and her father watched Sheriff Tusky drive away. Both of them stood silently for a moment. Her father thought of Katie's bruised cheek and cut-up face, and her story about the coon in the chicken house. He knew then she was lying, because she had never lied to him before. Now he understood she had been protecting him from the truth.
You know anything about that truck, Katie?
I've been taking care of business since you hurt your foot, Pa. All is well.
Good enough.
Katie's father opened up his arms, and when he did, Katie saw the saddest eyes she had ever seen.
Come here, little girl.
Oh, Daddy! Daddy!
It was the first time she was able to cry since that horrible day. Her precious virtue had been destroyed. Katie's father gently wrapped his big, strong arms around her as she fell into his chest. Her tears released 3 long weeks of anguish, worry, and pain.
I love you, little Katie. I love you. We'll never speak of it again.
That evening, Katie snuggled up close to her father, like she had done so many times when she was a little girl. The warm light danced on Rusty's back as he lay contently on his blanket in front of the fire.
Rusty saved my life, Pa. He saved my life.
I know, Katie. I know.
Katie's father remembered how Rusty had burst through the screen door that afternoon he hurt his foot.
I love you, little girl.
I love you too, Pa.
For the first time since that horrible day at the creek bottom, Katie felt a sense of peace. It was all that needed to be said, and although her father was gravely concerned, it was never mentioned again. Katie had 2 more wonderful years with her father on their West Texas ranch. Then one morning, Katie walked inside with some fresh eggs and found her father lying on the floor next to the kitchen table. His face was blue. She tried to revive him, but it was too late. Katie's father was gone. Although Katie did her best to bury the memory of that terrible day, her life was never the same again. Now that her father had died, there was no reason to stay. Katie decided to sell the ranch and leave Menard County. However, she did manage to retain the mineral rights. The day before she left what Katie had come to know as home, she took Rusty to the creek bottom to visit the unmarked grave of the men who had so brutally violated her. It was the first time she revisited the area since that fateful day when 2 strangers had completely changed her world as she knew it. The land seemed so peaceful that it was difficult to think it had once been hell on earth. She reached up, took a deep breath, and as she slowly lowered her arms, felt the warmth of the soft breeze blowing on her skin. As she looked at the trees surrounding her, she heard nature's music singing to her soul.
All is well. All is well.
Katie listened to the sound of the breeze blowing through the leaves, and imagined what they would say if the trees could tell her story.
Once upon a time, there was a little girl who liked to go fishing with her father. She came to the river often with her faithful dog, Rusty. One day, the most horrible thing happened.
In that moment, she knew she didn't want their violation to be a part of her reality any longer.
I forgive you.
Suddenly, the warm Texas breeze gently blew across her face and through her hair. Her heart felt free. Katie found some small rocks and formed two crosses over the unmarked graves.
Father, please forgive me as I forgive them.
Just then, a small monarch butterfly fluttered out of the brush, dancing with delight. To Katie's surprise, it landed on her arm. For a long time, the butterfly didn't leave. It even climbed on her finger. Smiling, she put her finger up to her nose. The butterfly lifted its delicate wings up and down slowly, as if to say, "You are free now. Remember, you are never alone."
Thank you, my little messenger.
Katie looked up into the sky.
Thank you, God.
Katie and Rusty moved to San Angelo, Texas. One day, while Katie was fishing on the Concho River, two women arrived with a bucket of minnows and began fishing on the bank a few yards down. One was a happy black woman and the other an attractive middle-aged lady wearing a large brimmed sun hat. She looked over at Rusty and Katie. "I like your dog. Beautiful day, isn't it? My name is Victoria Pearl."